feel all right now.
Hey, I feel all right now.
Do you feel like I do right now?
Do you feel like I do right now?
Motivated.
Motivated.
Sky high.
Sky high.
Rock steady.
Rock steady.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can do it.
I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Welcome to the Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast. Anytime, anywhere.
All right, folks, welcome back to another installment of the Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast. It is 2016. It's actually a month into 2016, and we're starting to get things ramping back up for Airsoft. But, you know, one of the interesting things about Airsoft, no matter if you call it a sport, a hobby, whatever the case it is you look at it, is Airsoft is always there. It's always an item that you can get a bunch of guys together that play Airsoft, and they can always talk about it. They can always prepare to do, you know, different things on the field. They're always talking about gear or the replica guns or, you know, the best BBs or tactics or whatever the case is. And that's what leads me into this topic I'm going to talk about today. And it's something that I don't think a lot of people realize is actually a very important aspect of Airsoft and of being a team or part of a group. And that's camaraderie and cohesion. You know, it's something that you don't really think about. I mean, I didn't really think about it until yesterday. We had a team build day where we get together as a group and our team gets together and we do maintenance on the vehicles and sit around and jaw a little bit, catch up on things, you know, have some lunch together. It's just a good time to get together, you know, talk about gear, talk about guns, talk about events, do some maintenance on the vehicles and just have some camaraderie. And during that conversation, it was brought up, you know, what makes a lot of teams really good and what they do is it's not always, you know, you can have some whiz-bang teams out there that they knock it out of the park when it comes to tactics. The guys look amazing on the field. They do everything right. They've got everything going on for them. But they still look mechanical. They've got this kind of forced aspect to it. It's like they've... The best way I can talk about it or express it is basically it's like being a robot. You've got this robot who is it looks completely 100% human. Every aspect of this robot is there, down to, you know, the pores in the skin, the eyelashes, everything. Its movement, everything. But when you engage it in a conversation, it's very mechanical. It's very analytical in the aspect of, you know, how it answers its questions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the same thing with a lot of airsoft groups out there. These individuals, they get together and they train and they do everything, but they're so intent on it that they lose some of the camaraderie and cohesion aspect of being human in that instance, if that makes sense. Because basically what they're doing is it's like taking a book and opening that book, flipping to chapter one, and reading through chapter one and doing everything in chapter one by the book, verbatim. Everything in there, they do it just perfect. And they do that over and over and over again, and that's great. But then what happens is that aspect that they keep doing over and over and over again, it becomes muscle memory for them. But it's mechanical. There's no flexibility. There's no fun. And that's one of the key factors here. And that's where camaraderie and cohesion come into the aspect. Now you take another group of players that they go out there on the field and they know their tactics, they know their strategies. But they, a lot of times, you know, they'll not, you know, they're fluid. They're cohesive. They move together really well. And yeah, they sometimes get whooped, but they have fun doing it. And they, when people look at these guys and they can just be goofing off standing around in a corner, people look at them and go, you know what, I want to be like those guys. And the reason they're that way is it's because of the camaraderie and the cohesion. They're friends. And that's a really important factor, I think, that a lot of airsofters, They get so wrapped up in the aspect of winning and looking cool and having the best gear or the best gun or whatever the case is, they forget the fundamental aspects of why we do what we do in Airsoft. And it's to have fun and make friends. And that, that key impact part there is something that a lot of, you know, I really do feel a lot of people, it either comes naturally or they have to work on it or it doesn't. And for those that it doesn't, it's, you know, they show up at the field, they go out on the field and they play, and they all they care about is how many people they hit, did we win or didn't we win? And then they leave. You know, you don't see those are the type of individuals that you don't see them, you know, after the game. They're sitting out in the parking lot until 8-9 o'clock at night, still, you know, jawing about the game and about what happened and this and that and the other. You know, they know each other really well, they're friends, et cetera, et cetera. Those core components is what makes any airsoft group or team or community really work really well. And that's what you have to, you can't train that. That's something that's developed just through being out there and getting involved with these people. And that's something I think as a community as a whole, we as airsofters really need to start working on again. Because I've seen it multiple times. I mean, you go to a game and you go to a national level event and, you know, tempers run high. It happens. It's human nature. But a lot of times you see these little skirmishes break out, and they're starting to happen more and more often. And I think the reason why they're happening is because we're losing the fundamental concept of community and camaraderie. They're disappearing and they're being replaced with, well, I look cooler than you do. I have better gear. I've bought, you know, fancier gear. I have a better gun. I'm sponsored. You're not. I've got more kill to death ratios than you do. I've won more than you did. Who cares? I mean, that's the ultimate aspect of it. Who cares? Did you go out and play? Did you go out and have a good time? Did you see that awesome move by one of the other players? Or did you make an awesome move? Or, you know, did you completely fall on your face? That's the aspects of airsoft that make airsoft great. It has nothing to do with how many people you shot or you hit. It has nothing to do with you're wearing the latest and greatest Kryptek, you know, camouflage pattern, or you've got the best multi-cam pants out there that cost you $200. That doesn't matter. You know, at the build day yesterday, a picture got taken of me. And it's not making fun of anybody. It's just me being a dork. And I put it up on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page. And the whole reason I did it is because it's hilarious. I thought it was funny. You know, I'm making fun of myself. And a lot of the individuals that are on my individual Facebook page and they're friends with me and they've seen me in airsoft, they know this is what I do. Because it's fun. And that's the purpose of me playing airsoft. Yeah. It's a side effect of going out and being able to play airsoft and do tactics and training and all of this stuff and keep my skills up to date. But the biggest aspect of it for me is that cohesion and camaraderie that I get from being able to go out there with like-minded individuals and have fun. And I mean, that's one of the key factors we've always talked about as a team together. Every time we have an event, that's the first thing we ask. Did we have fun? And there's very, very, very few events that we can honestly say that, you know what, we really didn't have fun. And in some ways, you know, you'll have an event where it's hit and miss. Yeah, the first part of the event was great. The second part, not so much. And that's what we weigh our factors on attending events on is, you know, was it fun? Did we get to go out there and have a good time? Did we make our own fun? Did we, you know, was it, if it wasn't fun, what was the factors that didn't make it fun? Was the rules constantly being bent? Were we constantly having issues with players not following rules and there were blatant issues? That kind of stuff is what ties into there. And the other aspect of it is cohesion is, it's not just getting along. You know, you don't have to necessarily get along with everybody. But it's an aspect of everybody's an airsofter, and that's as simple as it gets. You know, our team, we pick on everybody. It's equal opportunity pick on zone when we get together. each and every one of us have been picked on in some way, shape, or form. Some get it more so than others, but it's always in a good-natured manner. It's not meant to hurt anybody's feelings. And if we do hurt somebody's feelings, it's immediate, hey, you know what? I didn't intend that. I apologize. And that's what builds a community. It's the, we're not even wearing gear, we're not even touching airsoft guns, and we're a team that gets together and has fun together no matter what we do. And I've seen some teams that do an amazing job of this. They go, you know, they have movie nights. They'll get together as a team and go out on movie night. Or they'll, you know, arcade night or video game night or whatever you want to call it. They get together off the field away from airsoft, and there's still a team and a community and a cohesion to that. You know, we've done events where here locally where we've tried to do the local, you know, end of the year get together type deal. And it works for the most part. The biggest problem is you, depending on how your community spread out, and ours is spread out pretty far. You know, we're spread out pretty far. It's not like we're not talking a couple of miles. We're talking hours, if not a day, for some airsofters to get to see other airsofters. All of those things, that cohesion, that camaraderie, that friendship, is what creates a community. And it's what allows a community to thrive and survive. And that's what makes your team work that much better. You take all the tactics and tips and strategies and everything else, and you put that into a bag, and then you dump cohesion and camaraderie on top of it. And you just create this amazing environment and aspect where people, you know, they want to go and have a good time, and they do have a good time. And that's the key focus about airsoft. And that's, you know, that it leads into the next aspect of what I've been, you know, concerned about. You know, we know all about California. You saw the incident in California with the law that got passed about the trigger guard and the muzzle and the tape. And, you know, and it, honestly, it didn't turn out as bad as it could have. It worked out a little better. It's still kind of wonky. There's still some people that get really cranky about it. In some aspects, I don't think it's too terribly bad thing. In other aspects, I can see where some people don't want to do, you know, have all that orange bright tape on there. I'm going to keep my opinion on the matter. That's my opinion. But the bad thing that we're seeing now is we've got Massachusetts and Maryland that are trying to pass laws that are outright banning airsoft. It's not just changing that you have to put a bright colored piece of tape on your airsoft replica. It's outright banning it. Why? Why is this happening? Well, you know why it's happening? Because the community as a whole, airsofters as a whole, aren't acting as a community. They're more worried about being famous on YouTube. They're more worried about having the best gear. They don't think about the safety rules and the actions of the ramifications of their actions when they're flashing their airsoft gun out into the public. They don't think about that. And that's where these politicians, that they can't grasp one aspect, so they grasp another. And, you know, some of them are honestly being realistic in the aspect of they're concerned about the public safety. And that's great. But by outright banning something is not going to help public safety. It's just going to create an environment where people are going to go and illegally purchase these things and illegally play and create further issues. And why is this happening? Because the community as a whole is so splintered, and they're more worried about looking good or being famous or being sponsored than rather being safe and having fun. And that's what we should be focusing on as airsofters. We shouldn't be worrying about, well, I'm milsim, I'm speedsoft. It's airsoft. It all uses the same platform. It doesn't matter if the platform shoots 300 feet per second and a rate of fire of 20 BBs per minute or whatever you want to look at it as. I don't even know any of the rate of fires on my guns. They're airsoft guns. They shoot BBs. 6mm plastic BBs. It's an airsoft gun. I carry one around with a bunch of guys that I treat as my family. And I do. They know all of my kids. My kids all call them uncles. we get together, we have a good time because we have that cohesion and that camaraderie, and it allows us to be safe and it allows us to have fun. And that image expands beyond just our little group, and it expands out to a state. Our state has that same mentality because not just us, and I'm not saying it's just our little group, but that's what we broadcast across, and that's what we're very, very aware of, the image that we broadcast when we play airsoft. And that's the key thing, is you want to go out there and you want to be safe, you want to have fun, you want to just broadcast that positive camaraderie. That so when a parent gives the okay for their child to buy an airsoft gun, that individual is being brought into a community and fostered in a manner that they're not only going to have fun, but they're going to be safe, and they're going to learn properly what to do and what not to do. And it's not going to turn into this, well, the famous so-and-so on YouTube said this is okay. No. It starts at the community level. It starts at the local level. And if you do not have that camaraderie and cohesion in that community local level, then all you're doing is allowing the upper levels to try to teach these next generations of airsofters. And it's going to end up just like we're facing in Massachusetts and Maryland. And now, most of you know that I live in Wyoming. It is one of the most sparse, spread out states. We have a very strong community of airsofters here. You know, dedicated players who they police themselves, they watch out for each other, they're very safe in most cases. We've had maybe one or two minor incidences where airsoft has come into the public limelight with, you know, improper activity. But for the most part, it's very minimal. And the reason is because they know just how fleeting it is to be allowed to use airsoft in certain areas, or how easily it can be taken away, because they're aware of that. They watch. And everybody goes, oh, Wyoming, it's a pro-gun state. That'll never happen. No. All it takes is one incident. Because here's the thing. You look at California, you look at the young man that got shot in California while carrying an airsoft gun. California's huge. It has a huge amount of people. You drop a pebble in California's lake, those ripples are relatively small in comparison to affecting the whole populace. Now, you take that same pebble and you drop it in the lake of, like, say, Wyoming, or even, example, Maryland. Maryland is a relatively small state, very populated, but a small state. So you take that pebble and you drop it in Maryland's lake. Those ripples affect everybody. Because those ripples spread faster. Now in Wyoming, it's going to take a little bit longer, but it's still going to affect everybody because there's not that many people out here. So the population density, the size of the state, it impacts that. And that's why you have situations like in Maryland and Massachusetts. And it can happen anywhere. It just depends on what's going on in that area. And how do you remedy this? Cohesion and camaraderie. Not only on your team level. That's how you make a great team. That cohesion and camaraderie is the key factor to making a great team. Once you've got that going on, then you start spreading it to the community. That's where you as a team or as an individual should have a standard. You should have a standard operating procedure. You should have a standard SOP that when you go out on the field, you're going to take your hits. You're going to play honorably. You're going to have a red rag. You're going to treat your, you know, airsoft replica how it's supposed to be treated. You're going to keep it in a gun bag. These are all common airsoft rules that it doesn't matter. You could go to Scotland. You could go to the Middle East. You can go to Japan. You can go to China. Anywhere that they have airsoft, it's the same rules. The same core component rules. I don't think I've ever seen anywhere that it's not. You know, I run into a situation where we had a team that was running around wearing red berets. And we had to talk to them. We're like, look, while they're playing, I said, look, guys, you know, cool. You've got this image going on. You want to portray this certain group. The problem is nobody can tell if you're hit or you're not hit when you're wearing those red berets. Oh, well, but there's no rule about it. And we literally had to sit them down and show them through searches on the internet that, you know, red rags have always annotated hits in airsoft. Everywhere you go, you typically see it. It may not be standard across the board, but it is kind of an accepted, understood signal. The red rag means hit. And they caught on. And so it, you know, but it was through having cohesion and camaraderie where you can sit down and do that kind of stuff. So that's the whole aspect of this podcast I'm talking about. And what's the what if of this? You know, what's the big deal about having cohesion and camaraderie? Can you still just lone wolf it and go out and play? Well, sure you can. You know, that's part of the fun, going out there and just being a lone wolf and doing your thing. But you're still creating cohesion and camaraderie by following those basic concepts of safety, having the proper equipment, you know, being a positive image for airsoft. Every time I get online and I see a video of somebody, you know, not harping on the pain train here of this video has been overdone and I'm not going to show it. I'm done watching it because it made me cringe, you know, but every time you see somebody doing something improper with a airsoft gun, doesn't matter if it's a Polar Star, doesn't matter if it's a HPA, a CO2, an AEG, it doesn't matter. When they do something wrong with it, it affects everybody. And banning it is not going to fix the problem, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to fix it. It's just going to create further issues. What's going to fix this problem is we come together as a community. We create that camaraderie. You know, the greatest thing I have ever done in my life is gone to a national level event, and I don't broadcast who I am. It's just me. I'm not in this for publicity. I'm not in this to be famous. I'm in it to have fun and spend time with people I enjoy being around and fostering a community. And I go to a national level event and somebody just happens to figure out who I am and they come up and they're like, dude, Lex, hey man, that's awesome. Yeah, da da. You know, and I get to meet these individuals. Or I introduce myself just as, hey, hi, how you doing? And I don't throw out there that I'm such and such and so and so. I use the call sign Lex. It's not a common one. And they put two to two together and we start talking. You know, I fall back to Broken Home 3, I think it was, AMS. It was one of the first times I got to go out and hit a large national level event with a group of people. Go to this event, and we're sitting there. I'd gotten hit. We were pushing on Colville. I got hit, and I'm sitting there waiting to respawn at the respawn point, and everybody's tired. You can tell everybody's tired. And this one individual comes up, and I've talked to him on and off now and then, and he's on YouTube. He's a good guy. I watch his videos every now and again. I get the chance to. You know, he's a good example of what a community-building airsofter is. And he comes up, and he goes, Lex, I need a hug. Now everybody's going, oh my goodness, blah, 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 blah. You know what? No. It was a straight-up, we hugged it out, we grabbed our gear, and we went right back into the mix of it. And it was a blast, and it was great. And people around us are standing there going, huh? But then they see it, we're like, you know, like, let's do this again. We get up, we go, and we have a good time. And that moment is stuck in my mind from that point, because that's camaraderie. That's cohesion. That's community. This individual that I've met through the internet is out there on the same field as I am, and they come up and they can see somebody's kind of down, they're tired, and they do what they can do to get to prop this person back up, and they have fun with it. That's what we need to be. That's the example we need to set. And when we're dealing with Massachusetts and Maryland and other locations that want to ban our sport outright, or you're dealing with a situation you can't figure out why your team's not succeeding proper. You know, it's not succeeding to what you think it should be. step back and look at it. Are you building, are you fostering camaraderie? Are you open and to being, you know, you don't have to be friends with everybody, but are you cordial with people? Are you professional with them? You know, not everybody fits with everybody else. That's the nature of humanity. That's what makes teams interesting, because, you know, you can find the greatest team in the world, but you're going to know if you click with them or not. And that's the thing. Some people click, some people don't. It's not that people don't like each other. It just doesn't work sometimes. So that's what you do, is you step back and you look at that camaraderie. You look at that cohesion. It shouldn't matter who's in charge when you're out on the field. The team should all look at each other and go, sounds good, let's do it. And that's as a community as well. We as airsofters should step up and support Maryland, support Massachusetts, because you know what? It could be your backyard next time. It could be your state that starts to push on airsoft, saying it's unsafe. You know, some of the stuff that I was seeing coming out of Massachusetts in regards to how they look at airsofters, it hurt. It was very disappointing. It was very upsetting. Because I know for a fact that airsofters are not what they were portraying them to be. You know, I would not allow my now 13-year-old daughter to come out there on the field with me and learn and be involved in a community if it was true what Massachusetts was saying about airsofters. Just wouldn't happen. So I'm asking, as I'm wrapping this up, and I know I've rambled a little bit about this, but I felt this was something very important. It is a vital tactic, tip, you can call it whatever you want. Camaraderie and cohesion is vital to your team. It's vital to yourself. It's vital to the community as a whole. So as I'm wrapping this up, what I'm asking you to do is start considering how you portray yourself in the airsoft community. How do you act in the airsoft community? I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that I disagree with in the airsoft community. There's a lot of practices. There's a lot of programs. There's just a lot of stuff that I don't agree with. But that's me. And that's, I'm allowed to disagree with it because that's my opinion. But when it comes to that, if somebody asks, I'm going to give you my opinion and I'm going to base it on how I feel. And you may or may not try to change my mind. But it's not a public venue when this is happening. Because the simple aspect, ladies and gentlemen, is every time we make something public, and I'm not saying keep things hidden, but every time something becomes this public circus of trolling or you're not wearing the proper gear or this or that or the other, it turns into one more reason as to why individuals can latch on to trying to ban airsoft. What we need to be broadcasting is a solid, cohesive front, a solid community. There should be no reason that an airsofter from the state of California shouldn't be able to go into Maryland and face issues because, oh, you're a California airsofter. Who cares? Do I like how they play airsoft in California? I don't know. I've never played airsoft in California. It's still airsoft. It's still using the fundamental tools of what airsoft is. But that's the simple aspect of it. We need to be a community. We need to work together as a whole. We need to look at these aspects of, you know, when a state wants to ban airsoft or a team's having issues, look at their camaraderie, look at the cohesion, look at it as a airsofter, as a full-on group of airsofters. We are spread out across the United States. I have not gone to a state yet, and I've been to a lot of them, that I have not run into an airsofter somewhere. And it's, sometimes it's just in the most random places. I went back east and I was sitting in the airport. Guy walks by and he has a patch on his bag. And I was like, hey, I was there. He's like, oh yeah. And we sat there and we jaw-jacked for 30 minutes about an airsoft event. And he's in a 3-piece business suit and I'm in blue jeans and a t-shirt. Didn't matter. There's a developed camaraderie there. There's a cohesion. And that's what we need to be doing, ladies and gentlemen. We need to stop this separation of who's this, who's that, who's famous, who's not. You know, airsoft, speed soft, mill soft, who cares? It's all airsoft. We need to be safe, we need to be cohesive, and we need to have camaraderie. without those things, our sport, our hobby, whatever you want to call it, is going to continuously be under attack. And we need to stop that. We need to work together. So if you haven't gone out there yet, get out there, look up Massachusetts. There's petitions, sign them, be polite, be professional. You know, even tell a little bit of a story how Airsoft has positively impacted your life. Because there's a lot of stories out there that it has. Same thing with Maryland. There's a petition out there. There's one on my Facebook page right now. Podcast Facebook page. I think I've posted both of them. I'll give you the link to it here in a minute. Sign those petitions. Show how much Airsoft means to you. And it's not just, you know, we can't rely just on the companies that sell Airsoft to be the voice of this. You're the end user. You're the point of impact. You're the person that matters. You create the sport in the image that you want it to be. If you're not doing your part, if you're not stepping up, you're not part of the community. You're potentially part of the problem. Don't be part of the problem. Step up. Help the community out. Be positive. Be safe. Be professional. And let's keep the sport going for as long as it's going to possibly go. You know, the great thing about it is technology changes. Polar Stars come out on the market. You know, HPA systems come out on the market. Everybody starts screaming because everybody's afraid of change. It doesn't matter. For as long as Airsoft is a 6mm or 8mm BB being pushed out of a barrel, it doesn't matter how it's being pushed out of the barrel, it's Airsoft. It still meets the fundamental design that was created years and years and years ago. It's still fun. It's still a community builder. Airsoft communities out there have been doing great things for communities all over the world, and it needs to continue to happen. That's where you need to step up, toe the line, and do your part. Be safe, be polite, and be professional. Well, I hope this opens some of your eyes. It's a little more direct. Sometimes that's what's needed. But I'm going to wrap this up. I've been jawing a little longer than I need to be anyways. But it's an important topic I felt that'd be needed. It's an important step to building a cohesive anything that you're looking to do. Camaraderie and cohesion. You need it. It doesn't happen without it. Some things coming up. If you're not aware, you can find me on Facebook. You just go facebook.com/AirsoftMilSim Tactical Training Podcast, I believe it is. Yep, it is. I just had to check it. It's facebook.com/AirsoftMilSim Tactical Training Podcast. That is where I'm typically at all the time. If you want to get a hold of me or you want to talk to me, jump on Facebook and hit me up there. If by chance you're one of those few that don't have Facebook, good on you. I don't blame you one bit. You can drop me an email at airsoftmilsimttp@gmail.com. That's again, airsoftmilsimttp@gmail.com. All one word. One more time. airsoftmilsimttp@gmail.com. That's the email address. Drop me an email. It'll come right to me and I'll respond anytime. Now, with that said, that's typically how you can get a hold of me. Now, I just released, and I know we've talked about this, and I was self-publishing my manual. I went back through over the winter break and revised a few pages here and there, changed a few things. It's nothing drastic, but I just released it on Amazon. It's in the ebook, and you can also buy it in the hard copy. I highly, highly recommend you, if you're interested in it, pick up whichever is more comfortable for you. Me personally, the hard copy, that's where I'm at. I'm always with hard copy books. I like them a lot better. The link's up on my Facebook page. Snatch up a copy. All the proceeds for that go to help paying for this podcast. They help keep pushing out aspects. They help pay for the class. Any incidentals that I do for my class outside of all that good stuff. So jump on there, take a look if you're interested, grab a copy of it. Speaking of the class, the Airsoft MilSim Tactical Training class that I put on every year, or MilSim Airsoft Skill School, it will be happening again this year. I'm settling on dates. We're looking at probably mid-April. Might be a little earlier. We'll see. I haven't decided yet. The key thing for you guys is I'm going to open it up to 24 seats. We're going to have 24 seats this time instead of the 12. The cost of it's probably going to be around $50 this go around, just because of increases in range fees and things of that nature. Revamping a lot of the off the first class's recommendations, or revamping some of the way we do things. If you're interested, as soon as I get the tickets posted up, you can be able to purchase your tickets, and we'll see you out there for that. I'm also in the process of developing right now. I'm looking to do, if you have a group, and this kind of more specifically applies to like the Colorado, Wyoming, potentially even Utah area, but we could always look at further out as we go along. But if you have a group that'd like to do like maybe a one-day class on basic patrolling operations or something of that nature, you can contact me, and what you can do is sponsor a class. It'll be a flat fee, and that just covers my transportation costs to the event, and you'll have a minimum amount of students that you have to have in that class for it to happen. We'll go out, do the class, have a good time, learn some good stuff. And that it's also to allow, you know, for those individuals that can't make it to the two-day class every year, or they can't make it that year, they'll be able to, you know, potentially host a class somewhere else. So that's possibly popping up in the near future. Scheduling-wise this year, I'm definitely looking at going to Rhodesian Revolt this year down in Utah. We're going to have some events going on locally here in Wyoming. We're going to look to possibly host something in Colorado this year. So stay tuned to the Facebook page. That's, like I said, that's the best way to get a hold of me. That or the email. And it's just Facebook/AirsoftMilSim Tactical Training Podcast. Jump on there. Throw me a hello, whatever the case is. Know this has been a little while since we got the last podcast out, but like I said, cold weather and stuff going on. Airsoft, it's always there in the back of your mind, but other things get going on. Let me know how this one turns out. I got a new boom mic system. I think it does a lot better. Should be a lot better for quality of sound. So we'll see what goes on there. So with that, I'm going to wrap this up. Be safe, be honorable, and remember, you are the influence on the community that needs to be out there. You need to be the positive influence for that community. Step up, toe the line, and let's make it happen. Until next time, I'm Lex, and I will see you on the field.
Remember the four rules of gun safety. Always treat your gun as if it were loaded. Keep your fingers straight and off the trigger until you intend to fire. Do not point your airsoft gun at anything you do not intend to shoot. Know your target and what's behind it. Always wear full seal-up protection, rated to ANSI Z81.7 standards. Keep your airsoft guns in a case or bag until you are on the field. Only conduct your airsoft activities on approved fields, or on private land with owner's written consent, or public lands with consent of local law enforcement. The Airsoft MilSim Tactical Training Podcast is not liable for any criminal action, injury, harm or damage caused by any person or persons utilizing the information presented. Be safe, be honorable, and have fun. Questions or comments, find us on Facebook under Airsoft MilSim Tactical Training Podcast.